Today is Sunday, November 12th, 2023, and in Yom Kippur, you hear Hachenu Kol Beit Yisrael Hanatunim Betzara B'Shivya Homdim Bein B'Yam Bein B'Yabasha Uvein Ba'Avia Hamakam Yerachem Alei Yotzei Mitzara L'Ravacha Me'Feilu Li'Ora Mishibad L'Gula Hashto Ba'Gala V'Zman Kariv V'Noma Amen. And I have some pictures that are worth showing. Let me just deal with the war first, and then we'll get on with our... this is the picture I was looking for last week. It's a Breslov called to me Lewim, and I don't have to comment, this picture says it all. This is also going around, a beautiful piece of artwork. One thing we learned after the past few weeks, the world doesn't care about us as much as we thought, and we care about each other a lot more than we realized. And let's see if it can show you. Very, very beautiful and powerful. Making the rounds is a letter that surfaced from the White House August 11th, 1945. And Baruch Shekivanti Ledas Gedolim, as I said last week, we should have t-shirts, remember Hiroshima and Nagasaki. My dear Mr. Cavett, General Secretary, Federal Council of the Churches of CH in America, I appreciate very much your telegram of August 9th. Nobody is more disturbed over the use of atomic bombs than I am, but I was greatly disturbed over the unwarranted attack by the Japanese on Pearl Harbor and their murder of our prisoners of war. The only language they seem to understand is the one we have been using to bombard them. When you have to deal with a beast, you have to treat him as a beast. It is most regrettable, but nevertheless true. Sincerely yours, Harry Truman. It doesn't need writing. It's okay. Also, I've gotten a lot of compliments, and it could be I deserve them. I don't know. I don't want to. There's a big demonstration in Washington on Tuesday. And all of you know why I've gotten mail, my wife is a Ramaz graduate, and everyone is making arrangements to get there. And Agudat Yisrael is encouraging its followers to go. And I got very many emails. Rebbe, congratulations. Some of you know that for 40 years I've been hitting away at Agudat Yisrael for their lack of understanding what Am Yisrael is all about, not participating in the rally 1987 Soviet Jewry. I still am traumatized by it. And it could be I did have a big follower, fan, colleague in the late president of Agudat Yisrael, the Novominsky Rebbe. And could be the article on rabbinic authority and what I have in there about 1943 and the march in Washington, Rabbi Aaron Cutler not participating. It could be it's had a little impact. You know, if you keep on pouring water, it breaks the wall down. So I accept the compliments. I don't know if it's totally true, but I'm very happy to say Americans march for Israel, march to free hostages, march against anti-Semitism. Agudat Yisrael sends it out, encouraging everyone to join. Also, if you didn't see it in the Post this week, there was an open letter to the Prime Minister. If anyone knows Sharon Lindenbaum, please tell her that a guy named Aaron Rakefet was very impressed. The writer is a longtime resident of Rehovot, religious mother of five, who has worked in the high-tech defense industry for decades. And it's an open letter calling on the Prime Minister lachzor b'tshuva and b'fneyam v'yeda, sanctifying God's name before the people of Israel and the whole world, to be the single most important deed of your long career. And this could bring the greatest achievement on our fight to defend the people of Israel. You have to read it. It's a beautiful letter, well written and well said. And I come back to what I've said all along. You've heard me say this over the last 64 years now of teaching. If we want the people to remain Jewish, you have no idea how important it is for us here to set the example. All right, I have to be honest, no one cares what Rakefet says or does or looks like. But if Herzog would wear a kippah, if the chief of staff, these are Shomer Shabbos people, if Herzi Halevi would wear a kippah, you have no idea what the impact would be. And this takes me back to the Rav, something I wrote quoting my Rebbe. I write about it in the Rav. I write about it in an essay article on the relationship between the Rebbe and the Rav. And by the way, that piece has been reprinted about 4 times, republished in different... anyone who wants to republish, I give full permission. And the Rav says, they asked Rebbe, he was interviewed, the mid-70s, you gotta know the players. Yerushalmi interviewed him, Yerushalmi, Yitzchak Halevi Yerushalmi, I think his name was. His father was Rosh Yeshiva of the Meir Sharim Yeshiva. He was a Mizrachiite. Then you had Meir Sharim, but a big Talmud Chacham, an old Yerushalmi. The son already wasn't from, I believe the grandson is, but the son knew what to ask. So he interviews the Rav in Boston, and he asked Rebbe, do you agree with everything Chabad does, go on the streets, the tefillin, the lulav, the etrog, the Rav's a briska? He says, well, let me tell you, I don't agree with everything, but what they do is fabulous. And he says, when they say to someone, are you Jewish? Yes, you want to put on tefillin? He says, they're not just asking him to put on tefillin. He'll put on the tefillin, but he'll start to ask, what does it mean to be Jewish? Why am I putting on the tefillin? And the Rebbe said, when a Jew starts asking, it can end in Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. And see, it's the same thing with the kippah. What's a kippah? What's it about? And unfortunately, it took this war. We're going to have a lot of Balei Tshuva. They already interviewed, I've already seen an interview with a Russian girl. I think I spoke about it in class, observed her first Shabbat. So there was an interview recently with a typical North Tel Aviv Israeli. And he says, I was raised. I said, whenever anyone asked me, I would say, I'm an Israeli. I'm not Jewish. You've heard that. And you read the interview, it was this week, it was terrific. He says, I now tell everyone I'm a Jew. I'm proud to be a Jew. He says, I don't know yet what to do, I'm just starting. But I took my daughter, listen to this. He says, I lit candles. I made a bracha, lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. It's the only bracha I know on lighting candles. Hey, Kenny, you think you understand what's inspiring here? Okay, let me teach Torah, because I have to listen to Rakefet. He set a record. The people who have...
We had a Prime Minister who worried out. Acknowledge that.
Yeah, Bennett worry Yamaker, yes, absolutely, absolutely. His problem was that he isolated himself from the heart of the religious Zionist world. But he called a kavod to him. He not only that, you should know that his chavruta comes from this classroom. Okay. Rabbi Goldberg, they were chavruta in Yeshiva Ketana in Paterson, New Jersey. So I had a direct in to the Prime Minister, but Baruch Hashem, I have a direct in to pray. If Trump is elected again, I have a direct in. But Baruch Hashem, I don't need it. Okay, thank God. But it leaves a big impact. Okay, let's move. I'm listening to Rakefet. We have to act normal. We have to give shir and forget about the war right now. And we were mitpalel and hope we'll have Besora Tova today. Regarding the pictures I showed you last week, praising the art show, so I got a very interesting email from a Talmud Elimelech Meisel, this big Yichus, his grand. He descends from the Rav of Vashav, Gedolei Yisrael. I enjoyed your comments on the greatness of the art scroll Gemara. My father worked as an editor on the volume that you referenced, and my father told me the following story. In order to produce the drawings of various animal parts, Art Scroll commissioned an expert artist to give the drawings an authentic look. As they prescribed to the artist the drawings they required, he looked at them blankly. He explained that he is a vegetarian and hasn't seen chickens in years, so he has no idea how to draw them. One of the editors remedied the issue by running to the nearest kosher grocery store and picking up a package of chickens for him to examine. That's the backstory to the beautiful picture in the Art Scroll Cholem. Now, regarding the Kurkaban, the gizzard, yes, my nephew, Dr. Zev Rothkopf, wrote that the little puppet that we see sticking out on a human being, that's the Kurkaban, that is the gizzard. Now, when it comes down to the question that we're dealing with, Minhag Akum, where do you draw the line, and can you wear a tie? I have to thank Rabbi Grinstein. He sent me a recording, Baruch Shekivanti Ledaf Gedolim, Jackie Mason, quoting how, indeed, it is a schmatter around your neck, just hanging there and doing nothing. So Baruch Shekivanti Ledaf Gedolim. As far as what we dealt with, the Shulchan Aruch of the red clothes, Minhag Akum, so Yomo looked it up in a website called Miyodeya. And Yomo typed in, is there a problem with women wearing red clothing? And I got here a whole printout. And you have to see it, that the verse of the Gemara, they ripped up the Gemara. It's a famous Gemara in Brachot, but it doesn't say the color. They can't be sure it's red. But in Kabbalah, it does speak against red. Then there are achronim they quote, including names that we know. Red, what type of red? It can be a light red, not attractive. A dark red, you follow? And some say, no, it's not necessarily red. It can be any color. So the question hangs fire. It's interesting. If you notice in the Haredi world, if I see a whole group of women, many of them are dressed in black or dark gray, I would say. I'm not happy about it because I have a hang-up that having grown up in a Catholic neighborhood, black, dark gray represents mourning. And I don't like to be in mourning. But all right, I'll agree that perhaps it has to be a light red color, a light blue color, a light yellow color, not to be something that shakes you up when you look at the lady. All right, be it as it may, we have to finish up the Mishnah Halachot. We're at the tail end, and you're going to find today's shiur very fascinating. We saw the sources last week, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Shulchan Aruch. And there's no question if something is Dakei Amori, which may involve Avodah Zarah, that is forbidden. On the other hand, if it's a universal custom and it's common sense, we can't walk around without clothes on. And what's wrong with a shirt? What's wrong with pants? What's wrong with the belt? I'm wearing a belt. I don't know if you notice. It's a new style. I remember I bought it in Machne Yehuda. It's a stone by a Bukharin, and he's telling me, Zot Mashu Chadash me Atzelta Brit. And it doesn't have holes. It buckles, you pull it, you hear the click, and I don't know, I'm not yet certain it's perfectly good, because it loosens up on you and suddenly your pants can fall down. But on the other hand, it is a lot easier to work than a belt with a buckle and everything that goes with it. But something that's common sense, there's no problem whatsoever. Universal cover, that's the Gemara and that's the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. The burning, the clothes, the bed, what belonged to the king, covered. It's not Bal Tashchit. Same thing will apply to a military funeral. They shoot a volley into the air. It's covered. What remains a very gray area is Hevel V'Shtut. What do you call Hevel V'Shtut? And this remains a gray area. What was fascinating last week, I got involved with Woodstock, and I got quite a few comments on it that it opened people's mind. You know, Woodstock, what does Woodstock represent? On one hand, all right, music, happiness, youth, the earth, lovely trees, garden, call it what you wish. On the other hand, Woodstock, free sex, endless drugs, no responsibility, make love, not war. Dakei Mori. But there it's worse. It's not an idol. You're the idol. Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Not you, God. Something to think about. Obviously, when I use Woodstock, I'm using a euphemism because we lost so many people. Tinoka Chinishpu. I'm alluding to what I'm thinking. I think you understand me. In this tshuva, so it's to Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt, and Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt says, this person told me, Yehorei V'yal Yava. All right, I'm willing to bet that my guess is correct, that it's a Baal tshuva, Baal tshuva. You see this, I'll tell you a good word that you'll never forget. You look into the Chumash, so we're coming up to it in Shmot. When we hit Shmot again, the whole Mishkan was, did God command it before Chaita Egel or after Chaita Egel? So Kenny, you say, well, in the Torah it's long before Chaita Egel. There's a Machlokes Rishonim. Rashi, the Ramban, Ein Mukdamu Mulchah B'Torah. So, very fascinating. At a certain point, you see, they start raising the appeal for the Mishkan, for the gold, the silver, the copper, the linens, whatever was needed. Guy, can quote the exact pasuk. I'm not about correct. People donated too much. Natan, when was the last time a rabbi stopped the appeal? He hit $1 million. Too much. We don't go further. Who ever heard of such a thing? But I don't know. It's my vod, or I heard the vod. I've repeated it since I was 10 years old. It's fabulous. Why? Do we tell them enough? If you take the point of view that the laws about the Mishkan, look into Dat Mikra and Shmot, you'll see that the laws about the Mishkan are after the Cheda Egel. Why did we need a Mishkan? Before Cheda Egel, we never needed a Mishkan. We could believe without something tangible. Cheda Egel told the Almighty that Jews are simple people. They raised them in an era of idolatry. They need something tangible. Give them a Mishkan. So the Mishkan is the Bechinat Tshuva. So when you do Tshuva, don't overdo it. Know the limit. Reach a certain level, and you're now a good Jew. Don't go beyond. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to say, Bezalel came to him, they've given, Die. You don't need more. You've achieved. That's it. And I can go further. This is the whole concept of Nazir. Yiddishkeit. We don't believe in Nazir. What does Chazal say? He has to bring a kov mechatat mepnei shehizir atzmo min hayayin. And what the Torah is telling us, and this I heard from the Rav, and you'll see the Rav Kook's writings as well, that we don't approve of Nazira. God made the world for man to enjoy the world. Kadoshim tiyu, kadeshat mecha b'mashem mutalacha. But there are some people who must go to the extreme, their personality, their life experience, so the Torah allows them within a certain framework of sanctity. But even then, you have to know it's not right. Kork mechatat. Min hayayin. So here Menashe Klein says, look, I'm paraphrasing him. I'm not happy about celebrating Thanksgiving Day. I think we're not allowed to celebrate Thanksgiving Day. And nevertheless, there certainly is no chiyuv here, Yehoreg the Aliyava. Not to celebrate it, yes. But to say Yehoreg the Aliyava, absolutely not. And then he raises the problem. People will say, what's wrong with celebrating it? It's beautiful. You're thanking God for the bounty of the new land. They were starving. Suddenly they discovered turkeys. They had food. What's wrong? So it raises the issue that haunts us. I just had a shiloh on this. Do they believe in God? They believe in Trinity. How do you view Trinity? It's the whole figure in Sanhedrin. Not a simple question. If you believe in Trinity, you may be believing in Avodah Zarah. So you see, once again, it comes back to the question, how can you celebrate Thanksgiving Day if there's Dakei Amori and there's Avodah Zarah involved? And you should know this is a big machloket among Rishonim. Will the Meiri, some Rishonim take the point of view that Trinity is not against monotheism. I have a problem with that. And it goes back to a story I've told you and told my Talmidim many times. One of the shocking experiences I had in my life. I was courting my wife. I'm a young guy. And Sunday, I would finish teaching. Sunday, no one was in yeshiva. Yeshiva was empty. Everyone was teaching in Talmud Torahs to support themselves. And they didn't enforce attendance Sunday morning. Whatever the reasons why. I don't know what goes on today in YU. But what goes on? Yossi, today in YU, is everyone in the Beis Medrash? They take attendance, they have Sheyurim.
Probably 75%.
75. In my time, it was 25%. Everyone was working. So after I finished teaching Talmud Torah, I went to pick up my wife or to have lunch, an early supper. And my wife lived in the North Bronx, and that already was a nice neighborhood at the time, but mainly Catholics, not Jews. And I remember I get off the bus somewhere near Bainbridge Avenue and big new church, and in front of the church a statue. And this young Catholic lady, might have been Italian, might have been Irish, she's wheeling the kid in the carriage. And the kid had to be about two, a little over 2 years old, and he says, Mommy, what's that? And he's pointing to the statue. And she says, that's God. And I'm walking, and I eavesdropped. I heard the conversation. I mean, I couldn't help it. And I was in a state of shock. I never forgot. That's God. Oh, my. So, all right, Trinity's a question, but it's not Yehoreg v'al yavar. And he says, "Lachen he ends off the tshuva v'adayin lebnei Yisrael l'shtatayfim akum b'yom chagam zeh Chas v'chalila v'yein ruach hachomim nochach imenu. V'ulai gam isur midioraita gam kein. Avo laham lomar da'havi b'klal isa yahurg v'al yavah ein l'cha. That much, no. And he signs off. Yeah, yes, yes, Vic.
Christian holiday where Jews weren't married because of the holiday.
No,
that alone should be a
we're going to get there. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Relax. What Vic said is very important, and I'm about to raise the issue. Wait a minute. Here's a man who was saved from the Holocaust, comes to America, broken in spirit. How much money did it have in his pocket? Today in Borough Park, one of the biggest shtibbles is the Jungvara. His shtibbel. Have you been there? Have you seen it? Corner building. One side of the building a Keitel HaMaravi. The other side built like Kever Rachel. Wow. Look what this man achieved. Eli Wiesel, his best friend, Nobel Prize winner, Borough Park, generations of Frum Jews raised there, ranch in Israel, tax exempt in America, money raised. Wait a minute. America, Hakarat HaTov. I heard time and again, Medina Shel Chesed, what it's achieved. You talk about people came to America, Wurzweiler, Azrieli, what other graduate schools of Yeshiva there's? Wurzweiler, Azrieli, Frierkopf, Belfer, Belfer doesn't exist. Belfer. When he gave, I think it was $2 million to the Graduate School of Science and Mathematics. They renamed it Belfer. New York Times wrote it up. Belfer came to America a penniless refugee, 1938-39. Look what he went on to become. Hakarat HaTov. I remember when I went to take a birchat preda from my zayda, from my grandfather, going in aliyah. One grandfather was still alive, my mother's father. He learned in Voloshin, when Voloshin was reestablished, he could quote Gemaras by heart. What happened to his religion in America was sad, but Baruch Hashem, he could quote Gemaras by heart. The home was kosher. My grandparents, you're looking at me, Kenny. The home was kosher. This was an achievement. One son married the daughter of a treif butcher. And by the way, they had a wonderful marriage. They both died in their late 90s, and they were loyal to each other. And they didn't know a thing of Yiddishkeit. But I remember my grandfather and grandma saying, Vasadun, look what happened to us in America, that our mechutin is a treif butcher in the Bronx. In the Bronx. God have mercy. So I went to take a birchat preda. I'm going in Aliyah to Israel, to Jerusalem. And he says, "Mein teire Enkel, tracht das ibem." Think about it again. Mein Dea, my feeling is, America, a wonderful land. Look what it did for me. Came over penniless, was a contractor painter. Hakarat HaTov, you don't find a syllable of it here. No Thanksgiving Day. What's wrong? What's wrong? Where did they get the idea of Thanksgiving Day? Sukkot. Right or wrong? What's Sukkot? Thanksgiving for the land. Thanksgiving for the harvest. What they say it, they got it from the Old Testament. What's wrong? And Vic is absolutely right. It's the only Christian holiday where no anti-Semitism was ever expressed. Now, there's another point of view, and we got to go further. And here we come to Reb Moshe Feinstein. Three different times he touches upon Thanksgiving Day. And I would say Reb Moshe's point of view is middle ground. When we come to Amsterdam Avenue on 186th Street, you come to the other extreme. Menashe Klein, YU, Reb Moshe the middle. What's interesting about someone who knew the family and knew the period, so he explained to me, which I knew, that during this period after 1980, it was very hard for Reb Moshe to write. And a lot of times, with his sheer koichet, he wrote, there's one of these tshuva, that's the last tshuva they actually think he wrote in his own handwriting. Afterwards, he would dictate to Rabbi, his son, Rabbi Tam, what's the first name? Mordechai. To Rabbi, I know the other brother, I started to say Yaakov, Dr. Yaakov Tendler married a student of mine from Israeli Mechola. And they wound up in America, which didn't make me happy, because he could have had a nice position here as a doctor. You have to have, and I'll tell you in a second, but a lot of times he dictated to Rabbi Mordechai Tendler. And Mordechai Tendler deserves, and this is also part of life. My wife is one of three siblings. Sherry Levy, our administrative secretary, is one of three siblings. Sherry's mother just died. Father is left a widower with illness. Malka's mother died, three siblings. It's not fair in life. When Malka, the whole burden of taking care of her parents fell on my wife. It's the way the ball rolls. A brother is caught up with his wife and his problems here. The daughter in America had young children. Sherry, three children. The whole burden falls on her. And that's life. Same thing with grandchildren. Everyone is caught up in their own life. And sometimes Malka and I say, we have so many descendants. We need some help now to carry something heavy, to climb up on the ladder, to screw. I can't get down on the floor anymore. I can't get up. Yeah, I mean, this is all right. I don't fall Korim. I don't fall Yom Kippur. I sit most of the davening. All right, everyone knows I'll soon be, I'm a lot closer to 90 than I am to 80. We'll put it that way. This is life. And sometimes you have one grandson. I have one grandson. He builds my sukkah every year. All right, today we build. It's not the sukkah I used to build 30 years ago. Oh, wow. I could sit 20 people. Today my sukkah sits one, yours truly. When it's a big family affair, it's my daughter who can sit 50 people, not just 30. That's life. And Mordechai Tendler, he was the one who was Moser Nefesh for his grandfather. We owe him a great deal of thanks. Now, with all that we're talking about, you won't believe the question I got on Friday. The Talmud from this Kollel, Rabbi Dr. David Eisen, a psychologist today, etc. So he called me. He's going to give a talk on Shabbos. Ger v'tosev anochi imachem. All right, I've spoken, and he heard me, and I add to it, Ger v'tosev, that a Jew lives in two worlds. On one hand, when it comes to the Western world, I'm a ger. I'm living in it, but I can't be totally part of it. Ger, I'm a Jew. Can't accept everything in the Western world, same-sex marriages, consenting adults. I don't want to be menavu my mouth. But God have mercy, what the world is about. On the other hand, Toshav, I'm part of the world. I want to live in dignity. Computerization, artificial intelligence, it's the world, what's going on? This is America, but not anymore. Could you imagine where we're at? Harvard, MIT, Columbia, upstate New York, Ithaca, Brandeis, Jews cursed, maledicted, killed, Jew killed, Venice, suburb, what's the name? A suburb of Los Angeles. Beyond words. So, David asked me, would the rug be in favor of Gevet Toshav today? There's no question that everything we're talking about, America and Olam Shel Chesed, all this has to be reevaluated. It could be that the Western world is being conquered, and unless the Western world stands up to Islam, within your lifetime for sure, you'll see that on Friday they'll be beheading people after services in the mosque for infringement upon Islamic law. It's very frightening. But halacha l'maisa, Gevet Toshav doesn't just mean living in America. It means we're part of the big world today. Israel, what we have done, they shut down the rocket that was fired in outer space. It's the first time. I understand the third development of the Iron Dome. By the way, the Iron Dome, some of the biggest people who helped develop it are Datiyim Shomrei Torah Mitzvot Kala Kachat Muda. And we have to be with it. Computerization, startup. It's the world, it's not just, but here there's the added mitzvah, don't forget what I've told you, whatever you do is Yishuv Haaretz. So, could be the Rav, when he speaks of Gevet Toshav, it doesn't mean we have to be in America per se, but it means we can't live in a ghetto. We have to be part of the big world in order to thrive, to survive, to defend ourselves, to develop an economy, a state and dignity, etc. Now, Rav Moshe deals with it in a number of different shuvot, and I'll go in order of when they were written, and you'll see Rav Moshe's point of view, and we'll see exactly his conversation with Rav Ephraim Greenblatt. And here I first want to quote a tshuva. This tshuva was written in 1963. It's very interesting what the tshuva is about. It's in the second chelik bed of Eben Ezer. It's an Eben Ezer tshuva. I'll explain to you why in a second. Chelik bed shel Eben Ezer, the second time Reb Moshe gave tshuva to Eben Ezer, Siman Yud Gimel. Now, why is it in Eben Ezer? The tshuva is to someone named Yaakov Dardik. I taught Dardik. I don't know, it doesn't say where he's from. They were from Chicago, as I recall. I have no idea who this person is. But the tshuva, you can see America at that time. The first question is about mixed dancing. Kenny, that's why it's in Eben Ezer. Mixed dancing, Beinola Veina. It could have been in Yoredeya as well, Harchakot, etc. But this is, what's the question, mixed dancing? Rav Moshe writes, Huldaba Pashut Shasur. That's absolutely forbidden. He quotes the Rambam, Isuri Bia, the Rambam, maybe an Isidio writer, Chayav Malkot, etc. All right, the Ramban has a different point of view. But everyone holds its asa. But you see, this tshuva already reflects the American reality. And this is something that's very hard for us to contend with. Yossi, young Israels had dances in them. The 30s into the 40s into the 50s. Rabbi Rachel, Rabbi Goldstein, Herbert S. Goldstein, West Side Institutional Synagogue, I believe it was called. Big Orthodox synagogue. His son Aaron Reichel writes the biography of his grandfather, the maverick rabbi. I quoted it many times in the 14 years we spent on the history of Torah in the United States. The biggest problem Aaron Reichel cannot solve is how there was mixed dancing under his grandfather's aegis. So I think that was America. Vic, the reason, that you remember it or not, the mixed dancing. The reason was very simple. The rabbis felt, let's keep quiet, better they should dance in a shul with only Jewish girls than go to dances with non-Jewish girls. That's the real basic answer. No one said it was mutter, but it was a situation of intermarriage, assimilation. It's very sad. But this was America. That's one shaila, but it reflects another shaila. Can you go swimming on Shabbos? And Reb Meisher also, you know, the whole shaila of splashing, rishutayachet to a carmelit, a bathing suit, squeezing out the water, bathing the whole body. Obviously it's us, but Reb Meisher gives him, you know, doesn't really give sources. He just explains, this is us. Now, that, Natan, how good is your bikiyot? There, swimming, Shabbos, bathing suit. No, how many of you are familiar with that famous work that's gone through four editions? The Silver Era. No, Reb Lazer Silver, Cincinnati, the Jewish Center. Balabatna, we're going crazy. We have to go swimming. I have to go swimming on Shabbos. Swimming on Shabbos. Everything hinged on being able to go swimming on Shabbos. And remember, Reb Lazer in his old age was matir that it could be open, swimming, they can't, the bathing suit, they can't squeeze it out. I mean, he got, oh, was there an outcry? He had to back down. But this is indicative of where American Jewry was. By the way, I have to say, in parentheses, that don't think today we don't have problems. Jewish action, what are you carrying there? Sfarim?
It's very light.
It's light, okay. Makes me feel better. Okay. In Jewish action, there was a whole article on people, where so people walk around. I drive. I see boys and girls, men and women walking around. Everything is the phone, whatever you call it. And they people sit at the same table, but they don't talk to each other. They send an email from there to here. How do you like the soup? And he thinks back, well, it needs pepper. People do that on Shabbos. In other words, we have problems today that not just in America. My daughter told me, like, you talk about Givat Shmuel. She says, there too it goes on. And that's Givat Shmuel. Almost 80% of the people living there are shits right near Bar Ilan. Shomer Torah Mitzvah. Okay, so you see, this was America at that time. Yes, Yossi.
I was going to add that they don't send, how do you like the soup? They send a picture of soup with a question mark.
It's a new generation, and they cross the streets. If I wouldn't be a safe driver, they don't even look. They're not even looking. They're crossing, they have a right to cross, a crosswalk. Yeah, but they're drivers who are crazy, drivers who are asleep, driving. Crosswalk doesn't guarantee you're going to make it. All right, that's the world today. Then another question, very fascinating. This question already has ramifications even today. To give a gift to someone who's not Shomer Torah Mitzvot, Chatan V'Kala, Shainin Shomer Torah Mitzvot, okay, can you give a gift? What's the shaila? Probably, again, Reb Moshe doesn't spend time on it because the shailas are axiomatic. Zilkei beRavu. Probably the shaila is, you're going to give a gift, they're going to use the money to buy treif. They're going to use the money to go on a bus or a train on Shabbos. So maybe that's the shaila. And Reb Moshe says, look, if most people today are ovrei aveira l'teyavon, it's not mumarim. There are a few mamarim alive. There's someone told me about a certain professor that two rabbanim, one rav grabbed another rav. Come hear this guy speak. You'll hear a muma lahachiz with your own ears. And I've seen this guy's writing. He's mamish, a shemesh Shabbos, who's a satma and intelligent and writes English and has a PhD. And he writes to undermine the state of Israel, the Jewish people, when we kill out. You know what? Everything the Torah Kata says now. So most people, the average Israeli, it's muma l'teyavon. Don't bother me with that religion. Why? I want to do what I want to do. Am I harming you? You go to shul, daven all you want. I want a bus to take me to Ashkelon to the beach. Understand? Reb Moshe says, absolutely, you can give them a gift. And then he adds on another concept which I've spoken about, Mipnei Darkei Shalom. And this is very sad. Mipnei Darkei Shalom in the Gemara, wherever you will see it, it only has to do with Jew and Gentile. Right? We bury the dead, we give them stucco, we give them food, we gemilat chesed, mipnei dakei shalom. And could you imagine, today we have mipnei dakei shalom, Jew to Jew. Oh no, I don't force you. Rakefeta speaks in public, I've heard him. And he says it has to be a Jewish state. The public thoroughfare has to be Jewish. Otherwise, what right do we have to the land of Israel? We don't want buses. And on a private level, I've heard Rakefet say it, you can eat chazer on Yom Kippur. More than that, you can slaughter the pig on Yom Kippur, freeze it in a sandwich with bread, defrost it on Shabbos, Chol HaMoed, Pesach, and eat it then. Freedom. We're not forcing you. All right. Do I really believe it? All right. I can make a case that I really believe it. The Rambam, Hilchot Teshuva, the whole start, freedom of choice, of Achat HaVachayim. I can make a case. But this is true. Mipnei Darkei Shalom. Now, in this Teshuva, Reb Moshe gets the Shaila, can you make a simcha when it's a goyisha holiday, what the Gemara calls aid shel goyim. The whole sugis in ketubat, in avodah zarah. Excuse me, thank you. The whole sugis in avodah zarah, many sugis. So, see, Reb Moshe says very simply that when it's a real holiday like Christmas, Easter, he doesn't spell it out, but that's what he means, you shouldn't make a public affair celebrating some Jewish thing. Labriot, not to do something in public. For the sake of argument, Vic is making a Siyum Shas. Vic, don't schedule it for Christmas. Don't schedule it for Easter. But what about a Brit Milah? Yossi, you have a son and the Brit Milah falls on Christmas? Easter? Halloween, perhaps? No, you have to do it. It's with nothing to do with them. Everyone is going to understand. This is a simcha that has a time framework. Pidyon HaBen. And that already... We're not going to Asa. But he says, Reb Moshe, what about a Sudat Bar Mitzvah? He says, make it on a different day. Who says the Sudat has to be the exact day of the Bar Mitzvah? Well, make it on a different day. And you know those famous stories the Rebbe would always tell, the Bar Mitzvah in Europe, what did it amount to? You got an aliyah, and there was schnapps and herring. In America, you get an aliyah, schnapps, herring, kiddush. Big suit, all right, so you don't have to make the big party. Today, kids make a siyum. I have a great-grandson already who was bar mitzvah a year ago. So I saw he made a siyum on the bar mitzvah. Beautiful. Beautiful. But you don't have to make it that you can avoid doing on a day, on their holy day. And he says also, marriage. Don't plan it for Christmas. Don't plan it for Easter. And Thanksgiving. And when it comes to Thanksgiving, he says, really, I don't see an Issa here. Aval balei nefesh yesh lechem lahachmir. So what Rav Meisher is saying here, and this is the first tshuva, the first time he touches upon it, he's sort of taking a middle position. That on Thanksgiving Day, it's maybe totally permissible. It's not a chag that is avoided zara, but balei nefesh, you know, to make a big party on Thanksgiving Day, balei nefesh yesh lahachmir. All right, that raises the whole issue that we've struggled with so many times. Who can call them? Where do you draw the line between a bal nefesh and a show off? What's the word for show off in halacha? Merzei kiyurahara. That's a show off. Where do you draw the line? And I've struggled with this, I don't know, many, many times. In my own deportment, I just, people call me on Shabbos. I meet people who don't really know me, but they know of me. When I daven at my son-in-law's shul, Kabbalat Shabbos, so people say, Kvod Harav. People say, Professor. And I always stop them. I say, look, I'm only a Kvod Harav and a professor Sunday and Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Afterwards, if you're my Talmud, all right, you have to call me Rebbe. That's an open Mishnah and Pirkei Avot. Outside of that, my name is Aaron, Ani, Aaron, whatever name you know me by. I find it very hard to take on externals. But that has to do with my experience in the rabbinate in 61, 62. And I've told you that many times. I suffered. That was a terrible experience. And people should not have been so cruel to me. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they had to be cruel. I don't know. And I lost my whole ego, if you understand what that means. And my wife never let me develop an ego. You know, she kept my feet firmly on the ground. On the other hand, what can I tell you? I haven't said Kedusha Shachris with where I daven. I think it must be 40, 50 years already. I haven't been able to say Kedusha. So should I daven quicker? I just can't. All right, that's koshtila hate. But someone will look at me and say, oh, look at that guy davening. What a show off. His eyes are closed. He's davening. You follow me? Kenny, it's not black and white. You have to have a daher, a musa daher. How do you say that in English? Regesh. How do you say regesh in English? Feeling. A feeling. It's not simple. So Rav Meisher says, Bal Nefesh Yachmia. All right. Now, Rav Meisher deals with it again. And you see, here, in that tshuva, he just dealt with it to Liachiyad. What's interesting about the tshuva, 1962, it tells you what American Orthodoxy was about. In other words, nowadays, in the year 2024, no one is going to ask Eliot, do we have mixed dancing? I mean, mixed dancing? What are we talking about? Ever? Neither? Lotik Rav? Rambam? People know how to learn a little bit. But in 1962, that was a real question. And by the way, the question afterwards, Rav Meisher deals with the famous question on the subways, where everyone is pushed together. Are you allowed to go on a subway if you may be pushing against the lady? It's Reb Moshe's famous tshuva. The Chazon Ish deals with it, with the cab. You know the Shiloh with the cab. I'll tell you, you came something just fell into my head. Rab Shvadrin, the Maggid, remember him from? So he said, when something gets like nevuah, so you'll understand in a minute. I just had a nevuah. So you see, the Chazon Ish, you're in a cab. Five people are squeezed in, and it's four ladies and you. Where do you sit? After you're sitting, can we be? So Rabbaron Lichtenstein tells the story. It happened to him when he first came in Aliyah. So people want the Rav son-in-law. They say he's a gone idea. So he would give a shiur to the Mizrahi group in Bnei Brak once a week. And he would take a cab. There used to be, I don't know if it exists today, there was a cab service right above Meir Sharim. I can show you the street, right off Rehov Ethiopia, that went direct to Bnei Brak, a Sheirut, not to Tel Aviv, but to Bnei Brak. So, and that always had from people in it, obviously. And the Rav Aaron gets into the cab, and a woman sits down, a Sephardic woman and a chassid, they start changing seats. No one should be near her, only you. And Aaron sat next to her. So the lady turns to Rav Aaron, Mahim choshvim, shani lo tavelet b'mikveh? Masha, you follow me? And there you have that problem. All right, Baruch Hashem, the Chazon Ish was matir, Meishu was matir. I mean, again, we're talking a normal person, not a maneuver. Okay, so here already in Igrot Moshe, and this already was Reb Mordechai Pendler, they give credit that Shabtai Rappaport, that was Rabbi Pendler's son-in-law, should live and be well. And al yedei chatanu v'nei hamachaber v'huvalet fusra yedei nechtei hamachaber, it means Mordechai Pendler, published in 1966 in Yerushalayim. It's Chelet Chet of the Igrot Moshe, Orechayim Siman Chaf. And here, 1981, Reb Meisher records his conversation with Ephraim Greenblatt. And it's subdivision Vav. Let me just repeat it. It's Chelek Chet of Reb Meisher's Tshuvot, the Igrot Moshe, Orechayim Siman Chaf, subdivision Vav. And he tells about the conversation that you're talking with me about Thanksgiving Day. I already, and he quotes what I just quoted to you before. I already spoke about it. But Reb Moshe says, if you go out of your way to make a simcha and a suda, lichvod Thanksgiving, transliterated into Hebrew, he says, we certainly should prohibit it. And he says, remember, how did they begin Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving began, they gave thanks to what they believed in. Rav Moshe uses the word Avodah Zarah. He takes a very strong stand against Trinity here. And this, that we should emulate them, absolutely not. B'chukoteichem lo teilechu. And he says, and even if you're going to argue with me that it's not Avodah Zarah and it's for God and no Trinity, but it's Chevel v'shtut. What's going on here? Turkey, cranberry sauce, chestnuts, whatever else you have in Thanksgiving. And Reb Moshe says, absolutely not. However, look into the next paragraph. And here Reb Moshe describes Thanksgiving the way it's observed by Gentiles. Confirm for me that it's true. I have to be honest with you, I don't know. He says, yeah, and they make the dinner on Thanksgiving and along with the turkey and the special food, hilula v'hinga. And it means they they dance, they sing, they praise God. Mark, you in the armed forces, Lieutenant Colonel, Thanksgiving Day. Does this go on, or it's just Psalms? What do? They read Psalms. They have to do something. You can't just eat turkey and walk away.
The meal is a meal. I'm trying to remember if there was places they had set special service, but the meal was a meal.
But was there anything special about it, what Reb Moshe is describing? Vic, what do you say? Did you ever get invited to play a band on Thanksgiving? Not for Thanksgiving.
It's a good day to have bar mitzvahs.
Okay. So here Reb Moshe says that if you're eating a meal and Thanksgiving Day and they serve turkey, but there's no singing and dancing, all right, you don't have to be machmir. And he says, like Reb Menashe Klein, no one in the world would say that it's your horeg va'al ya'avar. And Reb Moshe says, even with yayin nesach, yayin that was used in avodah zarah, and it nitnaseich mamash la'akum, even there's no halacha yahareg v'al yahavar. And if this is the case, halacha kama v'kama, just to eat turkey. So Reb Moshe says, not terrible. So you see, he's a little bit more lenient and open-minded than Reb Menashe Klein. All right. Without singing, without dancing, without the hilula, the, what would be a nice English word, the atmosphere of Thanksgiving. You're just eating a regular meal, you invited, they're serving. Bal nefesh yachmir, but a regular Jew can eat. Well, hold on, I just want to make one point here. Then I'll open. But you see from Reb Moshe, wait a minute. Reb Moshe Feinstein, your relatives in America, Rav Nechemya Katz, your brother-in-law, he fought with Congress, got hold of senators, influenced the State Department. They got you a letter from Cleveland. They want to hire you as a rabbi. And finally, they brought you over to America in 1937. You came to America penniless. You went to Cleveland, you saw you don't fit in, but you had to fulfill the requirement. You came to New York. Unfortunately, the Rosh Yeshiva Mashkiach of MTJ drowned in a swimming act. I think it was in Coney Island. Rabbi Adler, his son was the famous conservative rabbi of Detroit who wrote the tshuva. Rabbi Jacob Adler wrote the tshuva permitting driving to shul on Shabbos. He was one of the three signatories, early 50s. The tshuva that changed the entire conservative movement. Today it bears no resemblance or semblance to what it was in the 20s, the 30s. And again, there's a dummy named Rakefet. It's postdoctoral research, appears in Rakefet Aron, I don't remember which chalik, and maybe Bet, on the attempt to merge the seminary and the yeshiva. Yossi, if they could have found a solution to the Mordechai Kaplan problem, there'd be no seminary today. It would be part of Yeshiva University. Are you aware of that? No one could find a solution. You know who I'm talking about, Mordechai Kaplan? You're looking at, oh my gosh, guys in the Smicha program at YU. May the ignorant pass for the wise. Kenny, what am I going to do? My lectures are not indexed. Mark, could you raise, I would say $10 million it'll take. We'll hire 6 Talmidei Chachamim to sit down, listen to every shiur, index them, and then I could tell Yossi, check it out here, Mordechai Kaplan, Rakafat Aaron, do you own it? Why not? The Rebbe wants to give it to you in dignity. Just ask him. That's all involved. You read the article and Google, go to our Rabbi Gon Google. Google Mordechai Kaplan. And you see, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Adler Sr. died. He took over. It was unbelievable. They needed him, MTJ. And look who you became in the United States. The single most famous rabbi. The New York Times wrote you up. And it's tremendous. Remember the article? The mid-70s. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. What an article. Aren't you thankful to the United States? Not one syllable of thankfulness. Thanksgiving Day. All right, halachically. Nisht yoharek v'yal yom, al yavo, avol balei nefesh yachmiya.
When I grew up in...
Well, excuse me?
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
The Macy's parade with the balloons.
Right.
The local high school football game. Maybe before or after you watch college, if you're in there. That was the other one, too, the football. It's the parade and the football and the...
That was Thanksgiving. Macy parade. New Macy. Who are Macy's? Every last department store in America was begun by Jews. Macy's, Klein's, I grew up. Unbelievable. Gimbel's. Saks Fifth Avenue. Bergman and Goodman, Bergdorf and Goodman, go on and on. Excuse me?
Alexander?
I can't hear.
Alexander's?
Gedolim, HaGedolim Shebaretz. How does he know about Alexander's? In my third chapter on Dr. Belkin, I have a whole footnote on what Alexander's was. And you should know, Kenny, Alexander's, it's named after Mr. Farkas's father. These were Jews assimilating. They have grandchildren that were picked up by Eish HaTorah. And their direct descendants living in Israel, Shomrei Torah u'Mitzvot. I don't know about Klein's, Macy's, Gimbel's, Southbridge in Philadelphia, whatever it was called. Ach, Rebbeinu Shelolam. Macy's Parade, inspired by Jews, paid for by Jews. And you're right, until today, what's Thanksgiving for Jewish kids? The Macy's Parade. Another tshuva by Reb Moshe. Let me get it. Igrot Moshe, let me just be sure this is from the same chelik. Only this time it's Yoredeya, Siman Yud Aleph. Tshuva written 1981. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Teichman, that's the recipient. And the tshuva is Binyanei Isur B'chukoteichem Lo Teilechu.
Which year did
It's the volume Chet. It's the same volume that I just quoted. But this time it's Yoredeya Siman Yud Aleph. And it's dealing with Chukoteichem Lo Teilechu. Subdivision Dalid deals with Thanksgiving Day. And he deals here, you know, with various American questions, the theater, sitting without a yarmulke, you go to business, you don't want to wear a yarmulke, you're under a roof. The whole shaila, Germans didn't wear yarmulkes, the roof covers me. In Morocco, they didn't wear kippot in stores where they sold. All these questions, keeping away from the Gentiles. The whole question that we discussed last week, building a building, Gentiles, shoes, buildings, entrances, architecture. And then Thanksgiving Day. And he says, Reb Moshe says, what is Thanksgiving Day all about? It's that they finally came to America and they found food, they found the turkey. And Reb Moshe says, we find that there is a similar concept of giving thanks. And he quotes here the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Samach Vav Amir Aleph. Sheyanei HaMelech Asa Simcha BeKvisha DeMilchama BeKolchalitsha BeMidba VeAchlu Sham Yerokot LeZeicha. All right, and here I have to pause. What we're touching upon, Yossi, is a fascinating topic. Are you allowed to add a holiday to the Jewish calendar? Elliot, have you done your research on saying Hallel and Yom HaTzma'ut? And this is, a lot has been written. Part of it is it's a Ramban, Lo Tosif, adding a holiday. Well, you can take another point of view. The Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Tet Vav, we're not adding anything. The Gemara says when God does a miracle for you, you have to say Hallel, period. That's what we're doing, Yom HaTzma'ut. Yanai HaMelech scored a big victory. It's a beautiful Gemara. After the victory was over and he conquered these cities, so to celebrate the victory, here Yanai HaMelech, instead of having pheasant under glass, instead of catering, calling in Shmuka Bernstein's, yes, he doesn't know what we're talking about, can he? You follow Shmuka Bernstein's? Elliot, there, nothing equals Shmuka Bernstein's. Vic understands me well. Take my word for it. Again, I would suggest, Jesse, due to your youthful age, go to Haravagon Google, Shmuka Bernstein's East Side, and see what they have to say. So you, instead of calling in Shmuka Bernstein's, he ate vegetables, lettuce, simple food, and he says, all right, you're allowed to have a Thanksgiving party to thank God, but don't do it every year. But often below kviyut chova umitzvah. Yachol gam l'shana acharon gam kein l'smor la'sot bo sudah. And this is what Reb Moshe is saying, avol asher la'sot yom kavua b'shana l'chag zeh. And what is he saying? That you can't make it a permanent holiday. According to the Gemara, Yanai HaMelech did it once, but it didn't become a permanent holiday. You're invited, I don't know. Elliot, your machatonim, your children's in-laws, they're making a Thanksgiving dinner and you're in America and they invite you, all right, go. Don't say no, Reb Moshe would be mad here. But something of permanence, absolutely not. This concept, this trip. You with me? I'm struggling too. What does it mean? Once a year, once in a while. Every year, this one invites you, that one invites you, the third one invites you. But he's hesitant. He's diffident. It can't be something part of your basic image, your basic gestalt. You follow? Now, Tshuva, you'd bet, the next Tshuva, he goes in into even more detail. And here the Tshuva is written 1981, and the Tshuva is written to Mordechai Tendler. My dear student, Nechti Hayaka, v'hachaviv olei ad ma'od, Harav Agon Malatu Kavado Harav Rab Mordechai Tendler Shlita Shalom of Racha Leolam. And you've been asked this question about Thanksgiving Day. I've written about it, and he refers him to the tshuva we quoted earlier, to the tshuva we just quoted. And he says, no, there's no prohibition of Aveda Zara. This is only B'chukotechem Lote Lechu. And he says, we can't really ask it, but what would be forbidden is to turn it into a chovah, to a mitzvah, that every year we're going to celebrate it, every year we're going to have a special Thanksgiving Day ritual and service. Allah, l'simchat harashut, b'pamzeh u'ba'ofan aroi. And if we do it 1 year, all right, perhaps we can do it a second year, but not to make it Yom Kavua. And he quotes the Gemara in Kedushin that we just quoted, and then he goes into the whole problem that you can't add to the Jewish calendar. And Rav Moshe raises a very simple issue. What do you mean you can't add to the Jewish calendar? Anyone who's learned Shas, Tainit, what is it called? Let me get the exact word. Megillat Tainit. What do you mean you can't add? And we have so many little holidays that the Gemara touches upon that they cite from Megillat Tainit. And we see they did add. And he says, no, Megillat Tainit just tells you, you can't give a hesped, you can't fast. These are days that good things happen to the Jewish people. But it doesn't say that you have to have a special meal with singing and dancing and happiness and your unique ritual. Can't add. And Reb Meisher, in these two much later tshuvot than the first one we read, I would say it's a middle-of-the-road position that no one in this room, and the Lamdanim here and Talmidei Chachamim sitting here and on the screen, no one can define exactly. What does Reb Meisher mean? Someone invites you, you can go. 1 year you want to do it within reason, fine. Not to put it on your calendar permanently. But I'm invited last year, I'm invited this year. Rav Moshe says, fine, you can go. Where do we draw the line? And here, there is no answer. No black and white. He leaves it open to your thinking, to your own situation, and you'll decide in accordance with where you find yourself and how to act. Now, chukotechem lo teilechu. That's the problem. Another problem, creating a new holiday. And here I'm going to end off the class with the source. Rav Moshe quotes it. And this is a source that is very tantalizing, fascinating, to a certain degree, very sad. Life in Europe was not a bed of roses. Not because of persecution. Persecution was one side of the coin. But there was another side that you come across in all the memoir literature and the responsa literature and the stories the Rav would tell about his family. The homes were built out of wood. I think I told you when I was in Minsk in 1981, I couldn't believe what Minsk looked like. It was like Anna Tefka stepping back in time, home after home after home, built in wood. Do you notice something about Israel? Jerusalem, you almost never hear fire engines. You listen to tapes of the Rav in Moriah, Broadway. Every year there's interruption to let the fire engines go by. You don't hear fire engines for the basic reason.
All the time. There's a big fire station here.
You're telling me about the fire station. I gave my grandson, there once was, this fire station's the only fire station in the world that built its own shul on the premises. They contributed. The people who work here built their own shul. I gave my grandson, was a volunteer in the fire station, and I gave my grandson the article, and he brought it in. They framed it and hung it up. They were so happy with it. Yeah, you hear the fire engines. People get stuck. They forgot to open the door. Something happened. This fell down. You never hear about wooden fires. In Europe, house after house after house burned down. All of Brisk burned, all of Minsk burned. You hear these stories, they had to rebuild from scratch. Everything was out of wood. Yes?
You know, people think here things are made out of stone. They don't have a lot of fires. And I think because of that mentality, I don't think you see as many smoke detectors, and I think people are naive.
Well,
every year you hear
the electricity. No, you have to have smoke. The electricity is a problem, but not the wood. That here you're required to build by stone, Jerusalem stone, and it is a big factor in protecting us from fires. Now, why am I telling you all this? Watch. First of all, Baruch Ato Adonai Melech Olam Shehakol Nehyeh Bedvaro. Just have to wet my vocal cords. Gentlemen, not an esoteric sefer, the Chaye Adam on Shulchan Aruch Orech Chaim. Siman, or what he calls Klal Kuf Nun Hei, Hilchat Megillah, Subdivision Mem Aleph, Hilchat Megillah, Klal Kuf Nun Hei, Subdivision Mem Aleph. And here we get involved. Are you allowed to add a day to the Jewish calendar? What's Purim about? Who added Purim? A great mace happened. All right. Purim already is in Tanakh. So you can't ask who added it. Divrei Kabbalah. But Misha Iralo Neis. V'chol shekein b'nei ha'ir yucholim l'takein b'haskama b'kabbalah lehem v'al habayim achareihem la'asot oto yom l'purim katan. And this is Minhag Yisrael. Anyone from Europe will tell you stories that there'd be special days in every city when they would feast and not say tachnun and have drashot and hoda'ala kadosh baruch hu, that God saved them from a fire, from flames, from a pogrom. And you see Reb Moshe raises the issue. The Chaye Adam goes on to tell him, this is this may be the most famous part of the Chaye Adam because it's quoted and requoted. He made it for his family. He added on a holy day that they were saved. And it's right towards the bottom of this Mem Aleph Siman. And he tells the story, Tetzvav B'Kislev, there was a tremendous fire. Machmat HaBeirash HaYetzal Elahav. Minha Pulvata, whatever that means, I don't know. You need someone who knows Russian. a fire began, something went wrong, and house after house was destroyed, and people were killed, and this fire reached my house, and we were just one step away from death. My wife, when he goes into great detail, my wife was injured in her face and her upper lip. Rip, kamachatichat, cuts, shinayim hatachtonim kulam nishperu bevia. All her bottom teeth were broken. Wednesday, I'm finishing up my implant. I hope this time it takes. I've had a hole in my mouth for about a year now. And the implant did not take. I hope this, having a great expert do it with his own two hands. My nephew, Dr. Zev Rothkopf. All right, could you imagine I brought some cases to Zev where he did miracles. Could you imagine I'll bring the Chayadim's wife to Zev? All her bottom teeth have to be prepared. V'gam b'chede sheyashavti sham im banai, נשברו החלונות והדלת ונפקו החומות וגם נעשה בגב בני based on the קווים, two holes in my son's back, and מכל בני מיתי כולם וממני אין אחד שלא יצא מהם על כל פנים איזה טיפתם. And everyone in my family, some injury, blood came out. והשם יתברך ברחמו בחסדיו חשב לנו הדם כקורבן לכפר והצילנו ונשארנו כולם בחיים. And even though it was a terrible day and 31 people were killed in our vicinity, and he gives names of some wonderful people who lived next door to him who were killed, and yet I and my family were left alone, and we survived. And Zecha Asan and Iflau Tav Kibalti Alaivi Alzari Belin Eda Yom Tetvav Bekislev. We have to celebrate. And Chetshil Hashem, those that can fast are to fast. And the entire greater family comes together, Motzai, Tetvav, Bekislev, to make a tremendous feast of Hodaya the evening right after the yahrzeit of this event. And right after Maariv, we light candles as if it was Yontif. We say Shir HaYichud B'Ne'im of Matan slowly and with a tune, the Shir HaKavod, and afterwards he lists out Mizmorei Tefillim, Tehillim to be said. V'acharei zeh sudah lelomdei Torah, and anyone from the greater family who can should give stacha. And then he continues this siman, Mizmor L'Todah, what we say every morning, right before Yechi Chavod. Why do we say it? We stand for it, actually. I used to stand, today I don't, but they say about Rav Moshe that even when it was hard for him to stand, he would insist on standing up. Mizmor L'Todah, in memory of the Chorban Tamid. You follow? Makriv with the Chorban Tamid, and he writes a whole beautiful Peirush on Mizmor L'Todah Re'il Hashem Kol Ha'aretz, and explains it in honor of the Nes that happened. Now, this story creates a problem for Rav Moshe. What's the problem? Lo Tosifal, the Ramban, and all that goes with it, Yom Ha'atzmaut, Thanksgiving Day. The Chayadim made a Takana and his family. Year after year, they celebrated. So Rav Moshe says it could be that there's a difference between a Purim Katan, an individual Purim, than the whole Tzibur Thanksgiving Day. But even there, Rav Moshe acknowledges, I'm not certain this differentiation is correct. So what do we have here? We have a middle ground viewpoint. It's not like Reb Menashe Klein, B'chukoteichem lo teilechu, absolutely forbidden to hire Vic to bring his band and play his drum at the Thanksgiving meal. But if you're invited to eat turkey, Thanksgiving, it's not a Vedazar, it's not Dakei Amari, it may be Shtut, Hevel, but go along. You're invited this year, next year elsewhere, third year, who knows where you'll be invited. It's like a Hallmark movie. The Hallmark doesn't make money out of cards today, but they produce movies. Like a Hallmark movie, family, yearly event, friendship. Reb Moshe says, well, don't make it formal. Don't put it on your calendar in advance. Don't put it into the computer that when you print out a calendar for the year, there has to be an addition to Sukkot and Hanukkah right in between Yom Hodayah. Don't make it formal. And this is Reb Moshe. Very clear, certainly not Avodah Zarah, certainly not Yehoreg V'Al Yavar, and that was his discussion with Reb Ephraim Greenblatt. Gentlemen, there's one more point of view, and we'll handle that next week. Be'ezrat Hanotein L'Ya'af Kawach. Next week, part of what I will cite, you're going to have a little problem listening to Rebbe Adkidei Kach, America. But America was great, glorious. I grew up in a home where there was a Nazi belt with a Nazi buckle hanging on the wall. My uncle brought it back when they conquered Germany and picked it off some dead German soldier. And my father, see, we won. And next to that buckle was a picture of FDR. And boy, did we grow up worshiping America. So much so that all of you remember what I cited, the famous article in Tradition, Red or Dead, by Rabbi Lamb's brother, Maurice Lamb. If we have a choice, is it better to surrender to the communists and let them take us over and we'll be red, or to give up beautiful American theology? Better to be dead than chas v'chalila to be red. To be continued. When we finish Thanksgiving Day, we come right into the New York Times of today, the new law passed by the New York State Assembly. It is forbidden to beat up a kid in school. The New York Times claims the law was passed because what goes on in Hasidic schools. Spare the rod and you ruin the child. How were we raised? Yeshiva Salanta. Every Rebbe had a ruler on his desk. Follow me? Wow. Sadists. Not the Torah I teach, but that's the way I was raised, elementary school. Are there any questions? First of all, I want to thank everyone for coming and honoring me with your attendance, and it means a great deal to me. And Baruch Hashem, at least for an hour and 40 minutes, we forgot about what's going on around us. I hope there's only good news today.
What do you say? Ara.
What kabalta beger adam.
It's aracha lashas.
Yeah, I understand. It's a whole. There are sources there. What it means? Does it mean red or does it?
The Rebbe says it doesn't say that it's red, but the arach says clearly that the type of beged which is red by definition.
Yeah, but there are other. You look into the article. He says it's not the chad v'chalak. Okay. Open it. I want to thank you and put me again in health and happiness. Das Vidanya. Tomorrow, don't miss the shiur for anything, because I hope to start. I have to finish Yachal. I have interesting news. What a Talmidah came up with. It's very sad. And I we're going to talk about Jet World War II and the Warsaw Ghetto and the Baal Tshuva that we spoke about last term. And then we begin for Lashon. So come tomorrow with a Bekisha, Chassidic garb, but carry your Lashon garb with you. In the middle, we'll change clothes. And I have an oxygen tank, pure Lithuanian air. Yossi, you've never breathed that air, but tomorrow we'll get there. Yes, open it to the world. Look at the intelligence.
Recording stopped.
Okay. I want to thank everyone around the world for honoring me and being on the screen. And those of you who stayed up late in America, kol hakavod. Any questions?
Rebbe?
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, Thanksgiving, originally, I mean, they moved it to November for various reasons. It's Christmas shopping, but originally it was, I think in Canada to this day, it's in October. Because it was Sukkot, it's Chag HaSif. They're thanking
right.
Hashem for the.
No, no, that's so what I mentioned. The pilgrims began Thanksgiving based upon Sukkot. We'll see that next week. Believe me, we will see it. Yeah.
I remember I went to the shuk once. I said to the butcher, I said, "Oh, you just sold my friend the turkey." "Oh yeah, I sold him a big turkey, 9 kilos." He said to me, they have some sort of chag these days, don't they?" "Yeah, they have some sort of." He meant Americans.
But, so I got to tell you, that was one of the biggest mistakes in BMT. It's the early 70s, and BMT was located in the center of town, Rehob Abavanel. From Abavanel to the center of town was a 5-minute walk. And a group of guys went, Mavar HaKsamim was the name of the restaurant, and they arranged to have a Thanksgiving party. And they came back late to the dorm, and Rabbi Hurwitz told them off, "How do you celebrate Thanksgiving Day?" And he was all upset. I don't know if that's the right approach. It was called the Thanksgiving Massacre because he really told them off in public. He was angry. He was a good mechanech, but in that issue, I think he was off. But that takes me to the massacre in Michlala. And this was a serious deal. What happened was, here, the kids come into Michlala, we're talking the early 80s, and they, you know, it's not America of today. Today, you should know, in the 1970s, the rub was mata pantsuits in Stern College. If it was a sneastic pantsuit, not tight, what's wrong with it? So, here these girls come in from Flatbush, Central, etc., to Michlala. And they're being wiped the floor if girl wears pants and this and that, and it's forbidden and us. So there was one girl, I don't want to mention the names, but these very prominent American Torah families, well-to-do families, and her grandparents had an apartment right around the corner from me in Rehov Herzog. And the girls made some sort of party at Thanksgiving or right around Thanksgiving. I think it was Thanksgiving. And you could only come to the party if you brought pants to change into. And some madricha who didn't understand American mentality, she told Rabbi Koopman, he flipped. You don't know what happened. And he told them off in public and said, "Anyone can leave, you'll get a full refund." And it was sad. I broke my hand in four different places, tripping. I can show you where. It doesn't exist anymore. The steps built connecting BMT with Horeb, which connected with Michlala. I think today it's all security-wise, nothing connects. And when I came back, for 3 weeks I couldn't teach because they had very heavy casts then. At the end of 3 weeks, we went into a lighter cast. And when I came back, it was like coming back to a mortuary. The whole spirit was sad. However, that event worked to my advantage. Why? Because some of my students go on to become first-class acts. They come in Aliyah. And lo and behold, I needed my old dermatologist retired. She was a classmate of my brother. And I now need a dermatologist. And I come in, dermatologist, considered the tops in Jerusalem, my student. And the first thing she says to me is, Rebbe, you saved my life that year. And I knew right away it was that year, 83, 84. And she says, you don't know, you know, there's a girl came in from Montreal, the level, the pants and schmants and this and that. And there's one breath of fresh air that I could feel totally at home in your classes. So I got to tell you, she is the most dedicated doctor that I have today as a result of the Thanksgiving Massacre number 2. But all right, that's life. But we haven't finished. We have more to say. And you'll hear next week, I came up with a source that will send you into orbit. Are there any more questions? I see everyone.
Two more small things. There are a lot of chagim, like Lag Bomer isn't mentioned anywhere in the Gemara, and there are all sorts of ceremonies we have.
So I got news for you. I knew a Yekka who refused to celebrate Lag Bomer. He was furious, Kabbalistic. What do we believe in? And he go crazy with Hoshana Rabbah that everyone sends the long Psukei de Zimra. Tsticha de Tzibura, uncalled for, unheard of. Where's the Issa Malacha? No, go and deal with him. What can I do? Basically, he's right, but what can I do? I go along with Klal Yisrael. Yeah.
I just want to say one more short thing. When I was in college, I davened with Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. So when you remembered, I remember him from Mizmor LaToda. I remember him very distinctly. You know, he couldn't move. He would struggle, and he would get up from Mizmor LaToda every morning.
Right. That's what they say about Rav Moshe. What I do this, but I can't do more. The more I sit, the longer my legs will hold out. That's all I can say. I want to thank you very much for participating, and until we meet again, in health and happiness.